The presence of the Lord here this evening. Where two or three are gathered together, Christ is here. And he's here indeed. Well, it was interesting just to hear the passage of scripture that was read out to us. Was it Isaiah 41? I found that quite a lovely thing that God has given me a word. He said, when the poor and needy seek water, there is none, and their tongue faileth for thirst. I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. I will open rivers in high places and fountains in the midst of the valleys, and I'll make the wilderness pools of water and dry lands of spring water. Well, that's pretty much confirmed to me that I think what I'm bringing to you tonight is good and is right. So turn with me to Isaiah. Chapter 12. A simple message. It could be a lot deeper, and I'm going to tackle this one again. I said to my wife, I'm going to tackle this message again, but a good message nonetheless. And because it's only a short chapter, I think I'll just read it out completely. So Isaiah chapter 12. And in that day, thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He has also become my salvation. Therefore with joy shall he draw water out of the wells of salvation. And in that day shall he say, Praise the Lord, call upon his name. Declare his doings among the people. Make mention that his name is exalted. Sing unto the Lord, for he hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. And the verse that I want us to look at is verse 3. Therefore with joy shall he draw water out of the wells of salvation. So we come to a lovely passage of scripture here. And I'm just reminded that I want to just bring something out in Ecclesiastes 3, chapter 3, verse 11. This is God. He hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also, he has set the world in their hearts, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. He has set the world in their heart. In other words, he has set eternity in man's heart. And therefore with joy shall he draw water out of the wells of salvation. Well, we're in a passage of scripture now where we find in Israel, we're in southern Israel. We are in Judah, south part of Israel. And we come to a lovely passage of scripture because it seems to be, in a sense, out of kilter, out of keeping with the foregoing chapters. It is a prophetic chapter. And it's a wonderful prophetic chapter that speaks of the Jewish nation who have come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their salvation and their God completely and fully. And this is a prophetic picture of the millennial reign of Christ, his thousand-year reign on the earth, where all those of the Jewish nation will come and know him as their Saviour. And it speaks, as you can see, of the fulfillment that is in Christ Jesus and God's deliverance of his people and the salvation that he gives unto his people. But leading up to this, we see Israel in constant disobedience. And we know that Isaiah was called by God by a wonderful calling, actually, in chapter 6, where God met with Isaiah, and Isaiah was so overwhelmed and so overcome by being in the presence of an almighty God that it actually had such a wonderful transforming effect upon him. And that's it, isn't it? When we are in the very presence of God, it ought to have such a transforming effect on our lives, to the point where Isaiah, when he came to see and understand the glory of God, the purity of God, the wonder of God, that when he stood in this presence, he came to fully understand his own impurity, his own sinful nature before a righteous God, before a holy God. And then he came to understand the sinfulness of the whole of mankind. And it affected the way in which he preached. And when we come to understand God in this way, it should affect our witness. The quality of our witness with God will affect the quality of our witness. The longer we spend in God's presence, and the more affected we are in God's presence, the greater the witness in our lives it will be. Because we can't help but tell of the love of Jesus. And this is what Isaiah found. It affected the way in which he was to preach. It affected the way in which he was to proclaim the gospel to a people, Israel, who had disobeyed God, who had gone away from God. And he wanted to preach to them about God's holiness, God's righteousness, but also the truth of God, that he's come to save mankind. And God's loathing and hate of sin, that God hates sin and doesn't want anything to do with it, and he must punish it. And there is judgment upon mankind. And this is not an easy ministry. In fact, I'm reminded, and I'll turn to it, Jeremiah chapter 1. We see really here, and I'm going off track a bit, but it's okay, the purpose of true ministry in Jeremiah chapter 1. It says this in verse 10 of chapter 1. See, this is God, I have this day set thee over the nations and over kingdoms to root out, to pull down, to destroy, to throw down, to build and to plant. That Jeremiah's ministry, as well as Isaiah's ministry, was to pull down any self-righteousness of a person that they think they could save themselves. To pull down anything within their lives that would bring them a false assertion that they could save themselves. And to bring them to the end of themselves. That in and of themselves they cannot save themselves. Only God can save a man. And this is the purpose of ministry, to make mankind see their need of a saviour, that they are unable to save themselves. But one came in Christ Jesus who would pay the ultimate punishment for all mankind, and they would be saved by faith in Jesus Christ. And this was Isaiah's message, that damnation is going to come upon you, judgment is going to come upon you. Turn away from your sinful ways and come unto God again. And what we see in chapter 12 is this prophetic picture that in the future context, they've come to realize that God is their Savior. So we now see, it's almost as if now he's had this prophetic and glorious insight of what Israel are going to be. They're going to turn their back from God after all the preaching and the proclamation of the gospel. They're going to turn their back on the world and they're going to see God for who he is, their Savior. And this is a wonderful picture of what they have found in Jesus Christ. Lord, you were angry with me, but now it's turned away. You now comfort me, whereas before I wouldn't have been comforted. Lord, you are my strength, you are my song, you are my joy. He's looking at hope. He's looking for a sure working of God in the children of Israel. But it also rings true for us today. This is not just applied to the children of Israel, but this is applied to us, God's people, who at once didn't walk with God. We weren't walking in the light of God. We went our own way. But now we have come to know him as our Lord and Savior. And now, with joy, we can draw out all the water we need from the wells of salvation. And it's for us now, like Isaiah, to take the message of the gospel out. Now we do that. But as we've heard, the second coming is near. And we don't want any to be lost. And we must have an urgency in our heart, just like Isaiah, just like Jeremiah, to take the message out. It's at hand. Jesus is coming. Let's take the gospel out. And what we find here in verse 3 is that there's great provision in verse 3. And the problem of the age is this, that in fact the problem of all ages is that people are looking for something. They're searching for something that will fulfill their lives. They're looking and searching for something that will give them meaning to their very existence. That is why I read Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11, because God has put eternity in man's heart. You see, people are looking for something. They're looking for something that is beyond them. They're looking for something that is greater than themselves. God has implanted in mankind an ability to search him out, to say, what am I looking for? I'm looking for something. And God says, if you seek me with all your heart, you'll find me. And he's placed eternity in the heart. People know there is something more than this life. This life can't be it. Only recently, and I was saying to Maria, a couple of weeks ago, if that, I had to partake of my first funeral of a young lad, 24 years of age, who was tragically taken away. And there were many young people around who did not know the Lord Jesus. And if they just looked at that boy in the box, and that was life, well then it's a tragedy, a complete and utter tragedy, because everything that he ever was, everything that he ever lived for, everything that he hoped and dreamed had died with him. There was no hope. But in Christ Jesus, there is that hope, you see. And that is what we have come to experience. And those who don't know the Lord Jesus can come to experience that as well. That hope in Christ Jesus that we're looking for. You see, it is only Christ that can bring peace and comfort to our lives. Everybody is searching for something, but they can't quite find it. And this searching and this expectation is only found in Christ. Turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 13. It's very relevant to this chapter. It says this: for my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and they have hewed out themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. But here, in chapter 12 of Isaiah verse 3, it says, with joy shall he draw water out of the wells of salvation. So in other words, what wells are people digging out in the world? What wells are people digging in their lives? The name Jeremiah means God establishes, God lays the foundations. God lays the foundations for truth and meaning to life. And people have rejected the truth. People don't want to know the truth. And they're quite happy to receive error. And in Timothy, 2 Timothy, it speaks of people are ever learning but never seeking the truth. They're always trying to get this and that. They're trying to dig their own wells, you see, of salvation. They're trying to dig their own wells of meaning. They're trying to dig their own wells of peace and satisfaction. But the problem is this: the waters in those wells become stagnant. There's no life there. There's no movement there. They're stagnant and they're putrid. And not only that, the wells in these cisterns, they break. And they can't hold the water. So people are looking and they're digging for wells to find all the peace and comfort in their own way of seeking out. But they're finding their lives are stagnant. There's no life in what they're looking for. So then they have to move to another well. And they have to dig another well. And for a time, they might be quite happy. But then they soon realize their cisterns and their wells leak. You see, it's not holding what they need. It's all just dissipating away. The wells that they're digging are useless for purpose. And we know that when we go to wells, we draw out nourishment of water. But there's no nourishment in the wells that they're digging. There's no life there. There's no hope there. They're emptying and they're stagnant. Nothing can impart life. That is why so many people keep digging and searching. And it is for us to show them the wells of salvation that are in Christ. And even for us Christians, you know, we can often be found to dig our own wells. That we find that I've got to work for my salvation. It is faith by works to gain salvation. But we know it's not. The finished work of Christ was on the cross. It is by faith that we are justified and made righteous, and we receive everything. But so many people are working and working and working for their salvation. They're digging their own wells and they're finding it can't hold water. There's no life there. What wells are we digging? What wells are the people digging out there? And let's take them to the true well, the true living water that is in Christ. Therefore with joy shall he draw water out of the wells of salvation. What does this mean for us then as God's people? What does this mean? Well, the wells of salvation are the wells of provision that's found in Jesus Christ. The wells of salvation are the wells of provision that's found in Christ. He is the living water, is he not? He's the spring of life. So now, with joy, as we come here, as we read in verse 3, chapter 12, with joy, we are able to come to Christ and we are able to draw out everything that we need. It is Christ who provides everything that we ever need in life. And notice this. The wells of salvation, it's plural. It doesn't say the well of salvation, but it says the wells of salvation. Why? Because your needs and my needs are many. We all have different needs. As our faces differ, so do our needs. And the wells of salvation really speak of this, that Christ meets and provides for everything that we need in our life. Isn't God good? He doesn't leave anything by. But anything that you need, Christ provides everything. That is why it's the wells of salvation. He gives us everything. That is why he's the all-sufficient one. We can come to the all-sufficient one and know that in Christ we are sufficient in him. We have everything that we need. With joy we can come. So this is what I want us to consider. It is with joy then that you and I must take by faith the provision that is given us. Because so often we don't. You see, the depths of our needs are deep. And the depths of our needs are many. And the wells of salvation are as deep as the deepest needs of man's heart. And they're full of water. And they're full of provision for the empty heart of mankind. And even in our own lives at times we might feel empty, but we can draw out of this provision that is for us, and even in our deepest needs. The wells of salvation are full and overflowing. They're never going to leak. They're never going to run out. They're constant, constantly overflowing. God's living waters, God's provision, constantly overflowing for us. It didn't end at Calvary, you see, but he gives, and he gives, and he gives, and he gives again. That's how much he loves us. So in Christ Jesus then, the provision has been made for us. It is in Christ that the provision has been made for us. So I can say to the world out there, and I can say to those who know and love the Lord Jesus, whosoever will may come to these wells of salvation and take and receive what Christ has for us. But you see, it's for us to draw. The wells of salvation are there. The provisions are there. But it's for us to draw and take possession the offer that Christ gives us. The offer of right relationship with Christ. We must take it by faith. The provisions that we have in Christ, it is for us to draw out. So what I would say to you tonight is get your bucket and throw it in. Throw it in the wells of salvation. You see, it's one thing for us just to sit at the well and admire it and go, oh, look, the well is full and overflowing. There's great provision in Christ. It's one thing just to see it, but it's another thing for us to draw it out for ourselves. I'm reminded of Israel when the Lord said, I'm going to give you a promised land, a land flowing of milk and honey, a good land, a pleasant land. And they were on this side, Jordan. Israel was here. Now, they could have just sat there and said, oh, well, Lord, we'll wait for you to give it to us. But he said, no, no. He says, possess the land. Go out and take hold of the land. It's there for the taking. But you just can't sit and wait for it. You've got to go and possess it by faith. And for us, friends, we've got all the wonderful provisions in Christ Jesus. But at times, we never take hold of it. We never grasp what is ours in Christ Jesus, fully and completely. covet the best things, the scriptures say. But many people don't. Many people don't take hold of the wonderful Pentecostal experience that is for us. Had it not been for the Pentecostal experience, then the disciples would have been a bunch of weak men. Because when we read before Pentecost, they were weak men. And they failed often. But on the day of Pentecost, they were changed. And they took hold of the power and the provision. And they changed the world in the power of Christ Jesus. Covet the best things. Take everything that is for us. It is with joy that we can draw out and we can receive all the sufficiency that's in Christ. How can we do that? Well, when Christ completed his redemptive work on the cross, he said this: it's finished. It's done. The saving work has been completed. Everything has been fulfilled. Nothing needs to be added to. It's all done. John 17 says this: I have finished the work. I have finished the work. And it's trusting fully in the cross that the work has been done by Christ Jesus. It's all finished. We don't have to add anything. Now, all those who are the recipients of Christ's death and life and resurrection, that we are now saved, we are recipients of this provision now that are found in Christ and salvation. We are now granted through Christ, because of the finished work, everything that pertains to life and godliness through Jesus. In other words, he will give us everything that we need to live a godly life that honors him. He will give us everything that we need to be witnesses for him. He'll give us everything that we need to live a life in close communion with him. The Holy Spirit teaches us, you see, leads us. When Christ said, I must go, I've got to go, because I'm going to send a comforter, and he's going to teach you everything about me. Now, what a wonderful thing to say that to the disciples, you see. The disciples had this wonderful close relationship with Jesus Christ. But he said, I'm going to send another comforter who is going to be just like me. Just like me. So they thought, well, we're going to lose you, Lord. He said, don't worry, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. And he's exactly like me. But he's going to teach you everything about me. He's going to comfort you like I have comforted you. He's going to be personal to you like I was personal to you. And the Holy Spirit teaches that. And we can pray to the Holy Spirit, teach us more about Jesus. Let us take of the provisions that you have so we can come to understand more about Jesus. And when we take of these wonderful provisions that are in the wells of salvation, when we draw them out, we are able now in Christ to gain all wisdom, all righteousness, all sanctification, all redemption that's in him. We receive so much. We must draw out and come to realize that God says to us, my grace is sufficient for you. I will give everything you need because of Christ. Now draw it out and take it to you personally. It's there for the taking. So to possess the Lord Jesus then is to possess every spiritual gift that we need in our lives. Isn't God good? He just doesn't leave us bereft. Okay, you're saved now and that's it. But we've got so many spiritual gifts. That is why it's such a wonderful verse. Now, Siloam Church, with joy, can you come to the wells of salvation and take out and draw out all the spiritual gifts that we can have in Christ Jesus. To possess him is to possess all the resources that we need to live. Strength, wisdom, comfort, joy, peace, meaning and value and purpose in Christ Jesus. Love, acceptance. Do we struggle at times with acceptance? Do we struggle that God doesn't accept me? Well, friends, think of it like this. When Jesus was baptized in the Jordan and he came out, the Holy Spirit, like a dove, came down, and the Father spoke and said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Now, those who have possessed the Lord Jesus Christ by faith, accepted him as their Savior, we are now accepted in the Beloved. We're accepted in Christ. Now, God the Father loves you with the same love that he loves his son. Not only that, he says, oh, I accept you in the same way that I accept my son. I am as pleased with you as I am pleased with my son. What a wonderful thought that is, that we are loved with an everlasting love. You see, Christianity, friends, and this is what we must really take hold of, I think, Christianity is an all-sufficient relationship that is found in an all-sufficient Christ. And that is why we can draw out all the sufficiencies in Christ in these wells. Draw them out. What do you need? Draw them out. They're ours in Christ Jesus. Therefore, with joy, shall he draw waters out of the well to salvation. Are you drawing tonight, friends, of all the spiritual provisions as in Christ? Are you drawing? But equally, I have to say this, because I wouldn't be doing my part. I don't know how many of you know the Lord Jesus Christ completely. I don't know. I can't presume. I've got an idea, but I can't presume. Do you know him? Are you digging your own wells of salvation? Are you digging wells that you're trying to find meaning and purpose? Well, the Bible tells us there's no use. They're going to leak. They're going to stagnate. And you're going to go from one thing to another, and you'll never be fully satisfied. But Jesus says, come to me. He that thirsts, come to me. Come to me, he says. And you can draw out everything you need in Christ. By faith, you can take hold of him, and he will change your life. And he will do something beautiful in your life, and you can come to know love and acceptance in Christ Jesus and draw out everything you need to have a beautiful relationship with Christ, to live for him. Therefore, with joy shall he draw water. So with joy, let's come before Jesus and draw out the wells that are in Christ. I just wonder now, because I really feel there's a lovely presence of God here tonight. So can we just close our eyes? Now, let's just pray. If you want to just pray out, that's fine. A simple prayer is good. But I just want us to pray now and just thank him for all the provision that we have. We've got everything that we need in Christ Jesus. And for those who don't know him, you can receive everything you need in Christ Jesus. A life fulfilled in Christ. You will have eternal salvation in Christ Jesus. Draw it out by faith. So Lord, we thank you that we are gathered here tonight to take hold of you. That Lord, whatever we feel bereft of, whatever we feel empty of, Lord, we can come to you and find our ultimate satisfaction and joy and peace in you. We can draw out everything that we need. And Lord, I need more of you. I am at peace in my life. I have joy in my life. But Lord, I want more. And your wells of salvation are full. The wells of provision are full. So Lord, tonight, I take of this provision. By faith in Christ Jesus, I take it tonight and apply it to my life that I might live a godly life. If there's one or two of you who want to pray as I just close, that you want God just to fill you, well then pray, because it encourages me and it encourages others.